जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर नंबर 28 कृष्णा रेस्क्यूज नंद महाराज टेक्स्ट नंबर 11 फॉर रिसाइटेशन। ते चौत्सुक्य धियो राजन् मत्वा गोपास्तमीश्वरम् अपि नः स्वगतिम् सूक्ष्माम् उपाधास्यद् अधीश्वरः ते चौत्सुक्य धियो राजन् मत्वा गोपास्तमीश्वरम् अपि नः स्वगतिम् सूक्ष्माम् उपाधास्यद् अधीश्वरः ते चौत्सुक्य धियो राजन् मत्वा गोपास्तमीश्वरम् अपि नः स्वगतिम् सूक्ष्माम् उपाधास्यद् अधीश्वरः सुख्य धियो राजन् उपास्तमीश्वरम् नागतिं सूक्ष्माम् उपाधास्यद् अधीश्वरः ते चौत्सुक्य धियो राजन् मत्वा गोपास्तमीश्वरम् अपि नः स्वगतिम् सूक्ष्माम् उपाधास्यद् अधीश्वरः ते चौत्सुक्य धियो राजन् मत्वा गोपास्तमीश्वरम् अपि नः स्वगतिम् सूक्ष्माम् उपाधस्यद् अधीश्वरः माताजीस् विल् सी द वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन् एण्ड् पर्पोर्ट् बै द हम्बल् डिसैपल्स् आफ् हिस् डिवैन् ग्रेस् ए सी भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपा ते दे च एण्ड् औत्सुक्य full of eagerness, dhiyaha, their minds, rajan, O King Parikshit, matva, thinking, gopaha, the cowherd men, tam, him, ishwaram, the Supreme Lord, api, perhaps, na, to us, swagatim, his own abode, sukshmam, transcendental, upadhasyat, is going to bestow, adhishvaraha, the supreme controller. Translation. Hearing about Krishna's pastimes with Varuna, the cowherd men considered that Krishna must be the supreme lord. And their minds, O King, were filled with eagerness. They thought, will the Supreme Lord bestow upon us His transcendental abode? Purport. The cowherd men were filled with excitement upon hearing how Krishna had gone to the abode of Varuna to rescue his father. Suddenly realizing that they were in fact dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they joyfully conjectured amongst themselves about their auspicious destination after finishing their present life. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam वंदेहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमोम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, we welcome all the devotees. In anticipation of the upcoming Shri Krishna Janmashtami, we have been given a mandate to discuss on Krishna Leela. Originally, we are in the first canto, but today we are in the 10th canto, and we'll discuss something related to Lord Krishna and his devotees. So this particular chapter is chapter number 28, and as the name mentions, Krishna rescues Nanda Maharaj. The previous chapter is where Indra and Surabhi Kau, they offer prayers to Krishna. So not all devatas get a reference in Krishna Leela. Not everyone is fortunate. There is Lord Brahma, there is Indra, there is Lord Shiva, and then there is Varuna. Only four devatas have received entry into Krishna Leela. So as Shukdev Goswami is describing about Indra's different interactions with Krishna and how he is not able to recognize who is Krishna, on his own he remembers, oh, a similar incident also happened with another devata, Varuna. And that is how, not in a chronological sequence, but Shukdev Goswami is inspired to speak about the interaction of Krishna with Varuna. And as Krishna mentions in the 10th chapter of the Gita, Name Vidu Suragana. So if Krishna is saying Name Vidu Suragana, Suragana means those who are not asuras. Those who agree to live by the principles of the Supreme Lord are called Sura. In simple Hindi language, one devotee was mentioning, Jo Bhagavan ke Sur mein apna Sur milate hain, unko kehte hain Sura. Aur jo alag Sur chalate hain, unko bolte hain Asura. So Krishna is saying, Name Vidu Suragana. He is not saying, Name Vidu Asuragana. Krishna is saying, it's not that the demons don't know me, he's saying even the devatas don't know me. Why? Prabhavam cha maharshaya, aham adirhi devanam, maharshinam cha sarvasha. Why do they not know me? Because I am the source. I came before them. They were born after me. You cannot ask the child about the childhood of his mother or father. So, Krishna when he's interacting with Indra, Krishna when he's interacting with Brahma, Krishna when he's interacting with Lord Shiva, Krishna is when he's interacting with Varuna. You should expect, unless they are in touch with some pure devotee, they will not be able to recognize Krishna. So we'll come to chapter number 28 of the 10th canto. It starts with Shukdev Goswami speaking, "Oh, one day there was an Ekadashi in Vrindavan, and the next day was Dwadashi, and on the day of Dwadashi, before the dawn, Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, entered the Yamuna water to bathe. And one close servant of Varuna, he took charge of Nanda Maharaj and took him to Varuna. And Shukdev Goswami calls this servant Antikam. He says, you know, he's a close associate of Varuna Dev. But he calls him Asura. So how can be a close associate of a big Sura like Varuna Dev be an Asura? So I was reminded how Srila Prabhupada sometimes would use very strong words to speak about people who would not accept the existence of the Supreme Lord. So some of them were well educated, some of them were well established in society, having a good reputation. But Prabhupada would call them rascal. And one of my dear friends, his father really appreciated Prabhupada's teachings. And he read Prabhupada's books. And after reading all the books, he says, "This personality is really amazing. But I just have one question. How can a saintly person use the word rascal? If you can explain me this, I can understand who he is." So here is Shukdev Goswami. He is never contaminated by the modes, but he is calling an associate of Varuna Asura. Why? So Prabhupada mentions in one conversation, he says, who is the rascal? Rascal, he says, is a person who knows but still will not accept, out of some kind of an adamant nature. So he said, actually anyone who is well educated in science can understand that it cannot come on its own. So many things in this world which are happening very smoothly cannot come on their own. In scientific terms, there is something, a term called as irreducible complexity. So some certain things are complex, but you cannot reduce them. You cannot go at a level where you separate all of them. They have to be together. And one very good example of this is the human eye. The way the human eye is structured and the way the human eye is functioned, you can check with any ophthalmologist, it is not an assembly of different parts that were evolved at different parts of time. It is that all the parts have to be together at one time, and that's how the human eye functions. So Prabhupada would say, actually they all understand that there has to be a creator, but just because they do not want to submit to the Supreme Lord, they are adamantly saying, there is no God, there is no God. So for a person like me, the existence of God is more on a theoretical level. And that's why when somebody says, there is no God, it actually does not hurt me in my heart. It may disturb me in my intelligence, because I have some arguments to prove the existence of God, and somebody else may have some arguments to disprove the existence of God. But for me, God is not a reality. God is an intellectual reality. But for somebody like Prabhupada, God is not an intellectual reality. For somebody like Prabhupada, he can see Krishna. For example, I have my biological father who gave me birth. And I have seen him. He has raised me. I know how he looks. I know what is his swabhava. I know what he likes. I know what he does not like. And if somebody just comes to me and says, I don't believe that you have a father. So it's not an intellectual argument. It's not that I'll give him 10 reasons to prove how my father exists. I can do that, but at one point of time, if he's just adamantly saying, no, your father does not exist. I have seen him. He's raised me. He gave birth to me. I know how he looks. I know what he likes. I know what he does not like. So for somebody to argue with me, who am clearly seeing my father, how will it feel? It's no longer just a question of whose arguments are superior. It hurts in the heart. For that matter, any one of you who loves your father, and if somebody says your father does not exist, it does not hurt here, it hurts here. And that's why when Prabhupada would speak about existence of God, he would not speak from his intelligence, he would speak from what he is seeing. He is speaking from what he is realizing. And that's why a gentlemanly, super elevated, a Mahabhagavat devotee also, sometimes when his heart is hurt, when people are disproving the existence of God out of adamant nature, no logic. Even today, not a small amount of life has been produced from the chemicals, but they'll keep on speaking about life comes from chemicals. So it hurts. And that's why Prabhupada would say, rascal. Similarly, Shukdev Goswami is a Mahabhagavat, but he says, asura. This asura associate of Varuna took Nanda Maharaj away. Why is he saying like this? But he's saying, do you know who is Nanda Maharaj? Why should you take Nanda Maharaj away? Don't you know what is his position? And a few shlokas later, when Krishna meets Varuna, then even Varuna himself says, Ajanata mamakena mudhena. Ajanata, actually my servant, he did not know who you are, he did not know who is Nanda Maharaj. Ajanata mamakena mudhena. He is foolish. And that's why he did that. So, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that particular Ekadashi was a short Ekadashi. And it consisted only of 18 hours. So after 18 hours had passed, the Dwadashi started. And the Dwadashi, 6 hours had already passed before the dawn. It means the Dwadashi had started 6 hours before dawn. And Nanda Maharaj is so devoted to following Ekadashi that he did not want to miss worshipping the Lord and also honoring Mahaprasad on Dwadashi and complete his Ekadashi. We say Paran or Paran. So it comes from the root word Purna. We also say Purna. So Purna ho gayi Ekadashi. Purna kab ho gayi Ekadashi? Jab Dwadashi ke din hum Mahaprasad lenge, tab Purna hoti hai. To usko Paran bolte hai. So actually he is entering the Yamuna from a seemingly inauspicious time, at an inauspicious time, but actually he is very devoted to following Ekadashi, and knowing that that particular Ekadashi was only 18 hours and 6 hours of Dwadashi have already passed, not to miss the Dwadashi, he entered the water of Yamuna. And seeing that, one associate of Varuna, he came and he took away Nanda Maharaj to the palace of Varuna for punishment. So Varuna Dev is saying, Ajanata mamakena mudhena. He is a foolish servant. So now the question comes, how is he a foolish servant? If this servant understands what is Ekadashi, what is Dwadashi, what is an auspicious time to bathe, what is not an auspicious time to bathe, how is he a foolish servant? He is called foolish servant by Varuna, not because he is a dull person. He is called foolish by Varuna because he only knows 50% of what he is supposed to do. So as the servants of Yamaraj, as the servants of Varuna Dev, servants of any exalted Devata, what are they supposed to do? Any servant has two parts of his duties. One is, you punish or you correct somebody who is doing something wrong. And what is the other 50%? The other 50% is to appreciate, to support, to glorify, to motivate those who are doing the right. If you go to the topmost authority, Krishna also says, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. In 11th canto in the Bhagavatam, Krishna says to Uddhava, what is the reason of my descent? He says, sadrakshanaya khala nigrahanaya. So same thing, sadrakshanaya and khala nigrahanaya. Two parts. Similarly, here, this servant of Varuna Dev, he only knows the technical details. Before the dawn, it is an inauspicious time to enter the river and see Nanda Maharaja entered the river, so he needs to be punished. He does not know the other part. Just see, the eagerness of Nanda Maharaj to complete the Ekadashi and to have Dwadashi Prasad at the proper time. So it is mentioned on that particular day, because this is a seemingly inauspicious time, actually none of the other villagers came to Yamuna. It is only Nanda Maharaj who came. And all the other villagers were in their homes and they were taking baths in their homes. Why? They were following all the technical details. Only Nanda Maharaj, accompanied by a few of his guards, because he is the king. So some people, close associates who were guarding him, only they came and Nanda Maharaj came. So one person in that big village is actually going into the details of Ekadashi, actually going into the details of Dwadashi, trying to respect Ekadashi, trying to respect Dwadashi. And such an exalted personality, who also happens to be the father of Krishna, this Moodha, this Asura, associate of Varunadev, took him away. Something similar also happened in the case of Ajamil. When the Yamadutas came and captured Ajamil, yes, the Vishnu Dutas came and said, "Whose servants are you, Yamraj? So did you learn anything from him? Did you learn only 50% of the story from him? Whom to capture, whom to punish, whom to threaten and all that. But did you never learn from Yamraj what are the qualifications of somebody who chants the holy names?" So it seemed that the Yamadutas or the servants of Varunadev also, they are very eager to learn only 50% from their master. अच्छा किसको पनिश करना है ऐसे आदमी को पाप करेगा तो ऐसा सर एंड यू नो दे जस्ट बिकॉज द ईश्वर भाव इज ऑलवेज देयर कंट्रोलरशिप इज ऑलवेज देयर सो यमराज इज अ देवता इन चार्ज ऑफ द एडमिनिस्ट्रेशन द लॉ एंड ऑर्डर ऑफ द यूनिवर्स बट ही इज ऑल्सो ए महाजन वन ऑफ द 12 महाजन्स Who is a devata in one of the purports in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada mentions, demigods are the empowered administrators to carry out the affairs of the universe. They are empowered administrators to carry out the universal affairs. So Yamaraj has two roles to play. The pure devotees of Krishna have only one role to play to serve Krishna. But somebody like Yamaraj has been given dual responsibility. What is that? He has to think about punishment. He has to think about how to deal with different sinful tendencies and all that. But because he is a Mahabhagavat, because he is a Mahajan, he also knows the other part, that whenever he punishes somebody, it is not out of envy for that person. It is only out of one reason, to correct that person. What is the dharma of the living entity? The dharma of the living entity is to serve Krishna. The part should always serve the whole. And what is adharma? Adharma means anything that we do that is not in line with dharma of serving the Supreme Lord. So who will correct this nature of a living entity to not follow dharma of serving the Supreme Lord? Yamraj. So as an administrator, he is telling, if you do not serve the Lord, then there is this punishment waiting for you. So the Yamadutas, they never ever sat for Bhagavatam class of Yamraj. They never approached the Mahajan part of his personality. They always approach the Devata part of his personality. And sometimes it could happen with us also. If we are in touch with a devotee, and that devotee may have two roles, in his heart he may be a sold out servant of Krishna, but externally he may have some administrative responsibility. And unknowingly we will only deal with the administrative part of his personality. So if Yamaraj is given that seva by Krishna, you should administer the law and order of this universe. Can Yamaraj refuse that? Can Yamaraj say, no, I just want to chant the holy names. I just want to chant and dance in kirtan. But Krishna is telling him, you have to maintain the law and order of society. So what does a servant do? Servant says, whatever you say. So some devatas are very interesting personalities, that although they want to chant and dance, they are Mahajans. Lord Shiva is a Mahajan. Swayambhu Kapilo Muni. So Swayambhu is Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma also wants to do that only. But they have been told by the Supreme Lord, no, you take care of the administrative affairs also. So sometimes it could happen with us that we deal with devotees only 50% of their personality, only their administrative part, and we do not deal with them, we do not appreciate their devotion to Krishna in their heart, and then we start doubting these devotees. Why are they administrators? Why do they do administration? They are doing administration not out of their choice, they are doing administration because they have been told to do. And if given a choice, all administrators would be happy chanting and dancing and jumping in kirtan. But that's not how Krishna wants this to happen. So this particular associate and the associates of Yamaraj, they never associated with the Mahajan part of Yamaraj and the devotee part of Varuna. And because of that, they never learned the 50% of the lesson that these Mahajans wanted to give, that our job is not to punish out of envy. Our job is to correct. And for the purpose of correction, so that these personalities, these jivas, serve Krishna favorably, we correct them. We rectify their mentality. So this particular servant, he did not understand that. And he captured Nanda Maharaj and took to Varunadev. So after taking that bath, when Nanda Maharaj did not appear for a long time, then the guards who were there, they started shouting, "Krishna, Krishna, Rama, Rama. Your father has not come out." And Krishna was nearby. Krishna came there immediately. And Krishna jumped into the water. So the word that is used to describe Krishna is Svanam Abhayadaha. Svanam, for his own devotees, he is Abhayada. Why did Krishna jump into the water? Because he wants to give Abhaya to his own devotees. It means, whoever accepts Krishna in their lives will also get Abhaya, to the extent to which we become Svanam of Krishna. How dear we are to Krishna, to that extent our life will be full of fearlessness. To understand this concept, let's discuss a little bit about Kamsa. How did Kamsa get so many asuras to go and threaten Krishna with his life? How did Aghasur go to Vrindavan in an attempt to kill Krishna? How did Vatsasur go to Vrindavan in an attempt to kill Krishna? How did Arishtasur go to Vrindavan in an attempt to kill Krishna? All these mighty asuras, in the fight, you know, when Aghasur swallowed Krishna and all the friends of Krishna, it is mentioned, for a moment, the devatas were watching that, and from behind the clouds they were watching, because they were afraid if Aghasur sees the devatas becoming happy. Because now Krishna is going to deal with Aghasur, and they had a faith that Krishna will kill Aghasur. If Aghasur sees them happy, and by chance Aghasur survives that, then he will beat them up. So demigods are watching this whole thing from behind the clouds, afraid of Aghasur. That is the power of Aghasur. And that Aghasur was ordered by Kamsa to go to Vrindavan and attempt to kill Krishna. How did he do that? He did that because he was fearless. Kamsa was fearless. He used to go to any asura and threaten him. Die at my hands or follow me. And some of those asuras felt better to die at the hands of Krishna than to die at the hands of Kamsa. So the point is, Kamsa is fearless. And Kamsa would threaten all these big asuras who have threatened the demigods. So how fearless is Kamsa? But that fearless Kamsa, on the day of his sister's wedding, when the Akashvani happened, he was haunted by fear. Immediately he gave up the reins of the horse. With his left hand he caught the braid, the hair of Devaki. With his right hand he took out a sword. And in front of everyone, shamelessly, he's expressing his fear and he wants to cut the throat of his own sister. So we are talking about different demons surrendering to Kamsa. How did Putana surrender to Krishna? To Kamsa? Actually, when Kamsa wanted Putana to fight, the Garga Samhita mentions, Putana came to threaten, "Oh, you are fighting with all these asuras, I will not follow you, I will not submit to you." So Kamsa said, "See, you are a woman and I am not going to fight with any woman. Just look at your brother Bakasur. Bakasur is my friend.
Bakasura has become my brother. So, because you are a woman, I will not fight with you. And because your brother has become my friend, so you also become my friend. And this is how Putana followed Kamsa. So, this Kamsa, who would not fight with Putana because she has a female body, that Kamsa is so overcome with fear by that Akashvani, that his own dear sister, who is of the age of his daughter, he is trying to kill her. So a demoness, he will not kill. No, you are a woman, and as per Vedic culture, we don't fight with a woman and we don't kill with a woman. And all that rules, Niyamavali, is gone, evaporated. When you boil water, it goes and you don't even know where the water went. So similarly, all this culture disappeared when fear of death entered. And in front of the whole town, every single person there is watching the wedding of Devaki. And he takes out a sword and is trying to kill. Can you imagine the fear that Kamsa got? So just few minutes before, he is the supreme ruling monarch of the whole world. And is totally fearless. No fear. He can go and threaten anybody. And he can go and punch anybody. And he can go and pummel anybody. And as soon as there is an Akashvani, Kamsa, the Supreme Lord will appear in this world and you will die at his hands. That fearless Kamsa is completely overcome by fear, that he falls to the lowest extent possible in culture and he is trying to kill his own sister in front of everyone. And then for the rest of his life, how did Kamsa live? Kamsa stayed in a palace surrounded by all kinds of guards. But whenever the wind would move the curtains in his palace, then the shadow would move, the curtain's shadow. And when the curtain shadow would move, the black color would appear to be moving and Kamsa would get hypertension. He would get palpitation of his heart. Sometimes the servants of Kamsa would move outside the room trying to serve him in different ways. But they would do it in a very silent way, so as not to disturb the master. And because he would take rest, and sometimes he would see, and he would not really see the face, he would think, oh, is it Krishna who was foretold to kill me? Every single moment of his life, this Kamsa lived in fear. So the fearless Kamsa became completely fearful Kamsa. Why? Because he went on the opposite side of Krishna. So the 11th canto mentions, Bhayam dvitiya abhiniveshatah syat ishad apetasya viparyaya smriti. When does fear enter our life? Fear enters our life the moment we create a second world where Krishna is not in the center. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yuyutsavaha. Mamakaha pandavaschaiva kim akurvata sanjaya. Dhritarashtra is the ruling king of Hastinapur, and Hastinapur happens to be the capital of the whole earth. He has all the armies at his command. He has 100 sons at his command. Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, Ashwatthama, all these mighty warriors are on his side. But why are you asking this question? Out of fear. And why did that fear enter? Mamakaha Pandavaschaiva. As soon as he created a division, as soon as he said, no, Krishna and his devotees are on the other side and I am on this side. So as soon as you distance Krishna from your life, fear enters, even though you are the ruling monarch of the world. So the fearless Kamsa became the most fearful Kamsa. Why? Because he is on the other side of Krishna. So to the extent to which we accept Krishna into our life, to that extent we will also become fearless. So Krishna is Swanam Abhayada, and he entered into the water. He directly went to Varuna's palace, and Varuna is saying, oh, you have come to my palace today. Tad Darshana Mahotsava. What is the festival for the eyes? The festival for the eyes is to see the beautiful form of Krishna. So he says, today my body, this human body, is successful. In so many bodies, I try to do so many things, but actually the real success of this human body is to see you. Akrura, when he enters Vrindavan, he sees the footprints of Krishna on the ground. And it is mentioned he gave up all his dambha, he gave up all his bhaya, and he gave up all his shucham. Shucham means any lamentation he had, any fear he had, and any pride he had in his position. Hitva dambham bhiyam shucham. Sandeshadyo harer lingam. He saw the footprints of Krishna. He said, what greater fortune can there be that with this human form of life we can see something that is connected to Krishna, the footprints of Krishna. And he rolled in that dust. He gave up all his pride, he gave up all his fear. Similarly, here Varuna is saying, this is the glory of my life, that I saw the beautiful form of Krishna. And anticipating that Krishna will speak some harsh words on his own, he says, just see your father Nanda Maharaj, I have properly honored him. So Nanda Maharaj has been made to sit on a jeweled throne, on a proper asana, and he has just recently finished worship of Nanda Maharaj. Varuna understood. And to not get any harsh treatment from Krishna on his own, without Krishna saying anything. Arre dekho, aapke pitaji ko acche se honor kiya hai. He has been glorified properly. And please take your father, and my servant made a mistake. And Krishna does not speak a single word. Krishna takes his father and comes back outside the Yamuna. And Nanda Maharaj is quiet. Why? Because Nanda Maharaj thought, you know, there is this chapter called Wonderful Krishna. So near Nandagao, there is a place called Nanda Baithak. When you go to Nandagao from Barsana, before Nandagao comes, on the left side, on the right side is Lalita Jhula, and on the left side is Nanda Baithak. And you go straight from Nanda Baithak, then there is Yashoda Kund. So that Nanda Baithak is the place where that Wonderful Krishna chapter was spoken. So what would happen is, in the evening, Nanda Maharaj would sit there, and all the friends and the villagers would come. And all these villagers would say, Nanda Maharaj, today my son came home and said, there was this big asura who came and Krishna killed him. And another gopa, he would say, and Nanda Maharaj, yesterday also my son came and he said, when your son and my son and everyone's son went to the forest, and then there was this big tragedy that happened. There was a fire that happened. And then they told Krishna, Krishna, fire, what to do? And Krishna said, close your eyes. And when they opened their eyes, there was no fire. And Nanda Maharaj would say, really? All this happening with Krishna? Because I know Krishna at my home. When there is lightning in the sky, in front of my eyes, he goes running to Yashoda Mai and hides himself in that sari. So, it seems really difficult for me to accept all this. And next day, again in the evening, all these friends would speak something to Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj, really? Yesterday when he was hungry, there was a little delay in feeding him. He created such a big mess at home. He said, I won't eat and this and that. And from that time, Yashoda Mai makes sure that she feeds Krishna at the proper time. So he's such an angry boy. He's such a helpless boy. He's such a boy afraid of the lightning even in the sky. And I tell him, are lightning to sky mein hai. Why are you getting afraid? But he still gets afraid. And you are telling he killed this asura and he killed that asura. I don't believe all this. So all those things would happen at Nanda Baithak. So there has been a long series of reports from all the gopas to Nanda Maharaj about the heroic exploits of Krishna. And today, for the first time, Nanda Maharaj saw something like that with his own eyes. So you can deny the whole world, but how will you deny Pratyaksha Praman? You experienced it. So Nanda Maharaj is just keeping quiet. He does not speak anything to Krishna. He comes out, and again that day there is a baithak. And he tells all these cowherd men there, do you know what happened? Today, I was dragged to Varuna Loka. And Varuna Dev, he saw me. And as soon as he saw me, he recognized me. And when he recognized me, he chastised that servant, Asura, you don't know how to worship Nanda Maharaj properly. So Ambarish Maharaj, you know, in that story, Durvasa Rishi, he misunderstands Ambarish Maharaj. He cannot recognize Ambarish Maharaj. And then he stays by Sudarshan Chakra, and then he goes to Vishnu Lok. Indra, Shiva, Brahma, and then he goes to Vishnu Lok. And in front of Vishnu Lok, he speaks a very beautiful verse. He says, Ajanatate Paramanubhavam Kritam Mayagham Bhavatah Priyanam. He says, Ajanatate, Oh Vishnu, please understand, it is all by ignorance. I am educated in all the Vedic scriptures, but I never read the Bhakti scriptures. Gyan bahut le liya, lekin vigyan kabhi liya nahi maine. Shukracharya is also a victim of this mentality. He knows all the Vedas. And when Bali Maharaj is about to grant the boon to Lord Vamandev, then Shukracharya quotes Vedi. He says, you know what, Bali Maharaj, there is a Bahavrat Shruti. And in that Bahavrat Shruti it is mentioned, unless you chant Om, your promise is not complete. So you have not chanted Om. You just told him, okay, given. But you have not chanted Om. So because you have not chanted Om, you can take back your promise. He knows all the Vedic scriptures. Kahan se dhoondke nikala usne Bahavrat Shruti. But Vedeshya Sarved Ahameva Vedyo. He read all the Vedas, but he did not understand the goal of all the Vedas is to serve Vamandev, to serve Krishna. And Bali Maharaj, he never read the Vedas, but he heard from Prahlad Maharaj. And who is Prahlad Maharaj? Prahlad Maharaj is a pure devotee. So listening to a pure devotee is much more important than reading the Vedas. What Bali Maharaj got by listening to his grandfather Mahajan, Prahlad Maharaj, Shukracharya could not get by reading all the Vedic literature. And similarly, here we are seeing how in this story, even Durvasa Rishi, he knows everything about everything. He is a renunciant. He does not get caught in the maya of this world. This is Ajanatate Paramanubhavam. I don't know your prowess. And what I did? Kritam mayagham bhavatah priyanam. Somebody who is dear to you, Ambarish Maharaj is dear to you. Kritam mayagham. I offended him. Please forgive me. And then the reply to that is, sadavo hridayam aham bhakta paradhino hi asvatantra iva dvija. So the reply to that is this, ajanatate paramanubhavam. So similarly, Varunadev, he worshipped Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj is telling all them, when I went there, Varunadev worshipped me. And then Krishna came. And when Krishna came, Varunadev offered obeisances to Krishna. And Krishna did not offer obeisances to Varunadev. And before Krishna could speak anything, out of fear, Varunadev said, this is your father. Just see how I took taken care of him properly. Just see how I worship him properly. You may take your father back. No punishment. And this Asura, this Mudha, servant of mine, he did wrong. So, when he tells this story to all the Gopas of Vrindavan, then the Gopas of Vrindavan, they realize who. So there was this talk that Gargacharya had mentioned. Your son Krishna is on the level of Narayan. But we never believed it. And we thought level of Narayan means he may be dear to Narayan. That's why whenever there is a tragedy or there is a disaster and when Krishna is present, then Lord Narayan must be protecting Krishna because he's so sweet. But now we realize that he is not on the level of Narayan. He is the source of Narayan. He is not different from Narayan. At that time, the shloka that we chanted today, Tad Autsukya. That day, that moment, the Gopas of Vrindavan, they get a desire in their heart. If he is God and he is one of us, what will be our destination after we complete this life? If he is God, will we get liberation after this life in Vrindavan? They are thinking like that. And that time, Krishna, he is hearing their thoughts and he is hearing their words as they are discussing with each other. And that time Krishna speaks one shloka. He says, Jano vai loka etasmin avidya kama karma bhi uchavachasu gatishu na veda swam gatim brahmam. So he says, Jano vai loka etasmin avidya kama karma bhi. People in this world are having three diseases. Avidya, they don't know knowledge properly, what is what. Kama, they have enjoyment desires. And karma bhi, what is karma? Any action that we do, we may breathe, we may talk, we may move our eyebrows, whatever, we walk, we talk, we sit, we stand, whatever. Any action that we do, which is aimed at our own pleasure. That is karma. So, avidya kama karma bhi. And this avidya kama karma bhi is also used by Kunti Devi in her prayers. So Kunti Devi is saying, my dear Krishna, why do you appear in this world? Some people say you appear for the protection of pious kings of this world. Some others say that you appeared to glorify King Yadu. Just like the Malaya Chandan is famous, and because of the Malaya Chandan, the Malaya hills also become famous. So Yadu, king, also became famous. Then there are some others who say that actually you appeared in this world to reciprocate with the prayers of Vasudeva and Devaki. And then there are others who say actually you came because the weight of earth was disturbed because of demons. And then there are others who say that you came to reciprocate with Lord Brahma's prayers. And then the sixth or the seventh reason that she says is, Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karmabhi shravana smaranarhani karishyan iti kechana. And there are some others who say, actually these are not the reasons why Krishna comes into this world. That any avatar can do. Why does Krishna come here? Because people, bhavesmin klishyamananam. Actually people in this world are fatigued. People are exhausted. Why? Avidya kama karmabhi. They are leading their lives out of avidya. They don't know what is right, what is wrong. Nobody is teaching them. And there are lusty desires in their heart. So sometimes they do shameless things. And every single breath that they take and every single thought that they have is only for one purpose. My pleasure, my pleasure, my pleasure. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karmabhi. Shravana smaranarhani. To such people who are fatigued because of avidya kama karma bhi, you appear in this world to give them suitable subject matter for shravan, kirtan and smaran. That is why you appear in this world. And Krishna is using the same avidya kama karma bhi, you know for whom? For the Vrajavasis. Krishna is saying, oh, these people, avidya kama karma bhi. So there are two kinds of avidya kama karma bhi. One avidya is when you don't know Krishna because of the influence of Mahamaya. And then there is another avidya. That avidya is when you don't know Krishna because of Yoga Maya. The last shloka of the first canto, 11th chapter, is regarding the queens of Dwarka. And this shloka mentions, Tammenire abala mudha strainam chano vratam raha apramana vido bhartur ishwaram matayo yatha. This is 1.11.39. The simple and delicate women truly thought that Lord Shri Krishna, their beloved husband, followed them and was dominated by them. They were unaware of the extent of the glories of their husband, as the atheists are aware of him as the supreme controller. So Shukdeva Goswami is saying, the atheists are also unaware of Krishna's glories, and the queens of Dwarka are also unaware of the glories of Krishna. But what is the difference? The atheists are covered by Mahamaya, and the queens of Dwarka are controlled by Yoga Maya. So the Vrajavasis are also in avidya. Krishna is using the same avidya kama karma bhi for the Vrajavasis. Just like there is a darkness, and in darkness when you switch on these lights, then there is brightness. And just like in our temple hall, we have some chandeliers and there is quite bright light. Imagine you put 200 such chandeliers in the temple hall. How much light there will be here. So that light is also blinding. How many of you have had photographs where the flash was clicked and because of the flash, you could not tolerate the flash and you closed your eyes? So there is one blindness that happens because of darkness. And above that darkness is light. And when that light also goes beyond a particular limit, then because of extreme light also there is blindness. So right now we are in the darkness of ignorance of Krishna. And sadhaka devotees, they are in the light of the glories of Krishna. And the pure devotees are in the darkness of the bright light of Krishna Prem. So the Dwarka Vasis, the Vraj Vasis, sometimes they don't know who is Krishna, but out of extreme love for Krishna. So here, avidya is avidya caused by Yoga Maya. Kama. Why does Krishna use the word kama for the Vrajavasis? Kama in this world is like a big motivation. Because there are lusty desires, so this whole world is going on, busy, busy, busy. And sometimes in pure devotee's heart, the desire to please Krishna is so strong that they are also busy, busy, busy. One time some devotees came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, this person, some another saintly person, he also claims that he loves Krishna. And there are many people in India who say they also love Krishna. So how to understand who actually loves Krishna? So Prabhupada mentioned, anybody can say he loves Krishna, you have to check their lifestyle. Are they busy throughout the day glorifying Krishna? Are they busy throughout the day working for Krishna? If they are busy, that means they love Krishna, because love means service. To love somebody means to serve that person. And if somebody says, I love you, but he is not engaged in any kind of small service for pleasure of that person, that is not love. That is enjoyment being portrayed as love. So the Vrajavasis, are they busy, busy, busy serving Krishna? They are busy serving Krishna. So the engagement that the Vrajavasis have in order to please Krishna is almost or more than the engagement that people have in this world for selfish reasons. So the Vrajavasis are also busy throughout the day. They're singing for Krishna, cooking for Krishna, making arrangements for Krishna. The gopis are making different arrangements like stringing flower garlands for Krishna, playing instruments for Krishna. Some gopis are dancing for Krishna. Some gopis are decorating Krishna. Some gopis are decorating Radhani. So it's busy life. So that's why Krishna uses karma in a spiritual sense. And karma bhi means their actions are throughout that is dedicated for Krishna. So Krishna says, it's very interesting. They are also bound by avidya kama karma bhi. And Kunti Devi is saying the people of this world are also bound by avidya kama karma bhi. Now I will show them what they have. So sometimes a person may have, you know, his kanthi mala around his neck, and sometimes, you know, it gets loosened. Yes? And if the kanthi mala is very tight, then you feel that kanthi mala, and sometimes, you know, one or two beads get broken, and then that looseness happens. And you cannot look at your kanthi mala. So then you don't know whether you have the kanthi mala or not. So you ask somebody, are kanthi mala hai kya mere gale mein? And he says, hai hai, lekin thodi loose ho gayi hai. Because some thread got loose or something like that. So Krishna is saying, they don't know what they have. And they are saying, after we die, what will we get? Will we get liberation? They are Vrajavasis. But avidya kama karma bhi. So Krishna takes them to one part of Yamuna. And he creates a feeling of Brahma Jyoti. Just like people when they leave this world, the yogis and the gyanis when they leave this world, after the material world, they enter Brahma Jyoti. He takes the Vrajavasis who are there to Brahma Jyoti, and they see everyone, everything around them in undifferentiated Nirgun, Nirakar, Brahma. But does Krishna want them to be Nirgun, Nirakar, Brahma? No. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Amritasya avyayasya cha. So, I'm the source of Brahma Jyoti. Why they should be in Brahma Jyoti? That's my energy. So, he takes the Vrajavasis higher to Vaikuntha planets. But Krishna also does not want the Vrajavasis to be in Vaikuntha planets. He takes them to Krishna Loka in Goloka Vrindavan. And how is he doing all this? The Yogamaya potency of Krishna is in action. They are on the Bhauma Vrindavan. And Bhauma Vrindavan is not different from Goloka Vrindavan. But still he is... So, in one sense we could call it Prakata Vrindavan and Aprakata Vrindavan. Bhauma Vrindavan is Prakata Vrindavan. We can see it with our eyes. And then beyond the Prakata Vrindavan is the radiant forest, the forest of grace, which we cannot see with our material eyes. It has to be revealed. There is a covering of Yogamaya on it. So Krishna takes away that Yogamaya covering and brings the Aprakata Vrindavan in that Prakata Vrindavan. And the Vrajavasis are seeing the Prakata Vrindavan, the Goloka Vrindavan, while staying on the Bhauma Vrindavan. And to their astonishment, they feel, अरे ये जाना पहचाना लग रहा है ये कुछ देखा हुआ लग रहा है दिस होम इज योर होम ना एंड दिस ट्री इज द ट्री बिहाइंड योर होम ना सो व्हेन दे लुक एट द प्रकट अप्रकट वृंदावन इट इज नॉट डिफरेंट फ्रॉम अप्रकट वृंदावन दे आर एस्टॉनिश्ड दैट बियॉन्ड द ब्रह्म ज्योति एंड बियॉन्ड द वैकुंठ प्लैनेट्स इज ए विलेज वृंदावन And that village Vrindavan, which they got to see by the special arrangement of Krishna, is not different from their village Vrindavan, in which they are staying currently. But there is one difference. What is the difference? The difference is, in that Vrindavan which Krishna showed to the Vrajavasis, the personified Shrutis, the Vedas in a personified form, were glorifying Krishna. That they never saw in Prakata Vrindavan. So the question is, why did Krishna have to show the personified Vedas, the personified Shrutis, glorify Krishna? So Srila Jiva Goswami answers this question, and Srila Jiva Goswami says, he wanted to prove his own credibility. Because if he does not show the Vedas glorifying Krishna, they might think Krishna is just some kind of a magician and he's just doing a magic show. Can you imagine the Upanishads glorifying Krishna? So chapter 87 of the 10th canto is Krishna glorified by the Vedas. And in one of the prayers, the Vedas glorify Krishna by saying, actually, we give a lot of knowledge in this world, but our main service is to give knowledge about you. And by giving knowledge about you to people in general, that is how we are also engaged in your service. Everyone, you know, Jivera Swarupai Krishna and Nitya Das, the Vedas are saying, but our Nitya Seva is also to serve you only. So how will we do that? By giving knowledge about you. And in the Krishna book, chapter number 87, this is not in the Bhagavatam, but Prabhupada wrote Krishna book and Ridhanand Maharaj wrote the Bhagavatam. So in chapter 87, Krishna book, Prabhupada writes, of all the glories of the Supreme Lord, the highest glory of the Supreme Lord is His causeless mercy that He comes to this world and takes the conditioned living entities back to the spiritual world. So, because Krishna wants to do that, that is the highest glory of Krishna. Even the Vedas also, He has instructed them, your service for Me is not to give knowledge. Your service to Me is you give knowledge about Me to the people. And those Vedas are in that Aprakata Vrindavan, actually personified, glorifying Krishna. So when the Vrajavasis see the Vedas are glorifying Krishna, they are assured of the authenticity. It's not a dream. It's not a vision. It's revelation of the Aprakata Vrindavan. And then Krishna takes away that revelation of Aprakata Vrindavan and brings them back to the Bhauma Vrindavan. And then all the Vrajavasis start thinking amongst each other, oh, it means it's not important to get liberation after we leave this body, after we die. We are already in the highest situation possible, beyond the Vaikuntha planets, beyond Brahmajyoti, beyond liberation, beyond Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi, we are already there. So sometimes, you know, we also, when we are participating in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, sometimes we will feel, Prabhuji, you know, after I die, will I go to Goloka Vrindavan? So Prabhupada in one conversation, when he was discussing with some of his disciples, close disciples, it's a small conversation, they said, Prabhupada, what will we do there? So Prabhupada said, there also we'll have International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Yes? And Prabhupada one time, you know, he mentioned that, actually what are we doing here? Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he mentions, what is sadhana bhakti? So definition of sadhana bhakti says, Kriti Sadhya Bhavet Sadhya. I don't remember the next three lines, but the Kriti Sadhya Bhavet Sadhya. Rupa Goswami says, you do some actions right now without the consciousness. But those actions are the actions of the self-realized souls, the highest devotees in the spiritual world. So what do devotees do in the spiritual world? Golokera Premadhana Harinama Sankirtana. They are chanting there. They are dancing there. They are offering bhoga to the Lord there. They are dressing the deities, they are dressing Krishna there. Yes? What are we doing in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness? Dressing same Kriti Sadhya Bhavet Sadhya. We are doing the same actions that are happening in the spiritual world. The only missing link is our consciousness. We are not aware about what we are doing. So the whole focus in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is to match our consciousness, not our actions, with the Vrajavasis, because our actions are already matching with the Vrajavasis. So Prabhupada has told us, we'll have another International Society for Krishna Consciousness in the spiritual world. So we are going to do all this, what we are doing here in the spiritual world, obviously in a purified state, by following the Guru Shishya Parampara's teachings. It means, right now what we are doing is our eternal activity. Dancing in Guru Puja is our eternal activity. Listening to the Bhagavatam is our eternal activity. Dressing the deity is our eternal activity. Honoring Prasad is our eternal activity. Having gratitude for Srila Prabhupada for picking us out of a very fallen condition is our eternal activity. But just like the Vrajavasis, we are bound by the material avidya kama karma bhi. And tomorrow when we get purified, hopefully we'll be covered by the yoga maya potency, the spiritual avidya kama karma bhi. But in both situations, you know, we'll be happy dancing with Krishna, chanting Krishna's holy names and spending time with the Vaishnavas. So this is how Krishna to the Vrajavasis reveals, naya kuch nahi karna hai. Aap jo kar rahe hai, wo sabse highest hai. But sometimes we don't realize that, and we get swayed sometimes by sound vibration outside the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Sometimes outside International Society for Krishna Consciousness, somebody may be presenting very esoteric rasas of Krishna Leela, Radha Krishna Leela or whatever. But we don't know what we are putting our hands into. But if we follow Srila Prabhupada, we are in safe hands and we are already doing the highest. So, in Stavamala, Srila Rup Goswami mentions this prayer which is connected to this pastime. May you be protected, the readers. May you be protected by Mukunda, who, in order to teach the cowherd men that there is no place as sweet as earthly Vrindavan, effortlessly showed them Krishna Loka in the spiritual world, and then brought them back to the earthly Gokul. So Krishna wanted to tell the Vrajavasis, there's nothing new that's going to happen there. You're already doing that. Similarly, through this pastime, Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Shishya Parampara is telling us, not that we have to change any activity. What we have to change is our appreciation. So right now, we may be unqualified, but none of us are disqualified. We may not have the right mood today, but the process is available, the books are available, the Sangha is available, and the most awaited biggest festival of Sri Krishna Janmashtami is coming 2 days later, followed by another, the most blessed event is the most auspicious appearance of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and 15 days later is the most merciful appearance of Srimati Radharani. So how fortunate we are. We are celebrating Nandotsav, we are celebrating Janmashtami, we are celebrating Radhashtami, we are dressing the deities, we are dancing. And this is what we will continue to do with the right consciousness. So thank you so much for giving me a chance to glorify Lord Krishna as part of this special Shri Krishna Smaran Leela. I am grateful to the organizers for giving me a chance. Jai Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.